Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Ephesians 5, I'm at verse 15. If you're there, say amen. Okay, I think everybody's got it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Can I get an amen there? Amen. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, would you help me address Holy Spirit wisdom in a way that's pleasing to you tonight? God, I need your help. I need that anointing. I need that comforter, that guide to come alongside me that lives within me and just speak for me tonight. I desire to be used. I want to be used. Lord, hide me behind the cross and speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you about walking in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit tonight. You know, we make decisions on a daily basis. How many of you have made a decision today? Every one of you have. You decided whether or not you were going to get up this morning. And you did, and here you are. We're making decisions all day long. And some of those decisions we make are wise. And some of them are... That's right. And why is that? Well, the Holy Spirit wants to guide us in ways of wisdom. And when I'm being, as Jim was saying, when I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, I make wise choices. Can I get a witness? Y'all understand what I'm talking about. But to refuse to live wisely is to ignore the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There's no excuse, brothers and sisters, for us not living wisely. We don't have any excuses because the Holy Spirit is available for wisdom. And having said that, we do need to go to James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5. When you get there, say, I'm there. Already? Y'all are fast. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, how many of you need some wisdom? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of who? Of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And so, notice that the verse does not say, ask for direction. You know, we're not supposed to even ask. We're just supposed to ask for wisdom. And you don't need to go ask the pastor for wisdom. Ask him. He's the one who gives wisdom. Not me. And he gives to everyone wisdom when we ask in faith. Isn't that a blessing? And so that's what I meant by we don't have any excuse for making unwise choices. Unwise decisions. We've got everything we need. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has that wisdom, and all you got to do is ask God for it, and He'll give it to you. Well, I could charge y'all $500 a piece for that info tonight, and we could leave. That's enough right there to load your wagon. But we all you got to do if you want wisdom is to ask for it. Amen. Godly wisdom is something every one of us needs. So here's the first thing I want to say from verses 15 and 16. back over in Ephesians 4, excuse me, Ephesians 5. Let me read. See then that you walk circumspectly. And what is it? Do y'all have a footnote in your Bible on what that word means? Circumspectly. You got a footnote? Carefully. All right, carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need wisdom. I think, first of all, Ephesians 4:15 is telling us we need wisdom in light of the times that we're living in. They needed it in Paul's day, and we need it in our day. We're faced with complicated issues every single day. And some of these issues are not mentioned in Scripture. You know, not everything is addressed in the Bible. And you need wisdom to make decisions, especially on things that are not talked about in the Scriptures. And the question that we need to be asking is, what is the wise thing for me to do? What is the wise thing for me? And I think some of us probably think that, you know, if the Word of God, if the Scriptures don't specifically say that something is wrong, then it must be okay. Wrong. Bible doesn't tell us everything about whether it's right or wrong. And because there's some things that are not mentioned in the Scriptures that are detrimental for our spiritual health and our physical health. Can I get a witness? All right, but I think what a lot of church folks, and I know I'm not talking to anybody in here tonight, but I think a lot of us, what we want to do is walk as close to the edge as we can without falling over. I think that happens a lot of time without actually sinning, and I think that's the reason, part of the reason behind the fact that we can't whip these things in our lives that keep pulling us down. As a result, we've got habits we can't let go of, habits that we can't quit, areas of weakness that we have and they don't improve. We make unwise decisions on a daily basis. And the Holy Spirit, bless God, He wants to keep you and me from going over the edge. The Holy Spirit has our best interest at heart. He's got a better plan for my life than I do. And He wants to keep us from disaster. That's a good word for you tonight. The Holy Spirit wants to keep us from disaster. When we fail to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we quench the fire of God in my life. Sometimes you just know that God speaks. You know, I think it's dangerous sometimes when you hear a preacher say, "And God told me." How many of you have heard that? But what they mean by that is that they sense some type of inner prompting. Some type of sometimes God will put a person's face on my heart and in my mind. And God will just kind of speak, not there, you know. And that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think we almost discredit that. But because we don't want anybody to call us Pentecostal or charismatic. Well, there's no danger in that in this room tonight, okay? And so we live powerless lives sometimes, and it doesn't have to be that way. God has wisdom for us, and He wants us to make right choices and right decisions. And so when we make a bad choice and we don't make the right decision, what does that say to us? Well, I'll let you figure that out. But we don't have any excuses for my... Look at Proverbs 28:26. I wanted y'all to see this. Proverbs 28:26. We're just going to kind of jump around a little bit and see what God says. Proverbs 28:26. Proverbs 28:26. Here it is. Now listen to this. How many times have y'all heard somebody say, "Well, just trust your heart. Do what your heart's telling you to do." Y'all know what the Bible says about our hearts? They are desperately wicked. That's what the Bible says. Don't you listen to your heart. Oh, just follow your heart. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a what? A fool. That doesn't sound good, does it? But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So, let's go back to verse 15. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? What does it mean to walk carefully? Not as fools, but as wise. What does it mean to walk that way? Well, it means that we simply need to walk very carefully. Isn't that deep? I mean, we just need to walk very carefully. We need to examine everything that comes down our path or that we run into. And that means every opportunity, every invitation we get, every date, every relationship, every trip, everything needs to be looked at through the lens of Scripture and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the times that we're living in are evil. That's what verse 16 says, isn't it? Because the days are evil. And almost at every turn and around every corner, we are bombarded with sin. It's almost as if everything out there is happening, is coming against us. Anybody else know? I mean, if you listen to the news at all, what's happening down in Australia? What's happening over in the Middle East? What's happening up in Washington? Don't answer that one. So we're bombarded with junk and stuff. It's all around us, and these are evil days. And so, you know, a lot of the laws that we've passed in our country over the last 40 and 50 years work against the family and work against sanctity of life and the work ethic. And we hear all this garbage, and we hear all this stuff. And the entertainment world supports an agenda that the Scriptures don't always agree with. And there's almost, you know, I'm looking for things. There's almost hardly anything out there that's being put out to strengthen the family. Are y'all with me? I mean, what we see is the family's falling apart. And it's like almost no one seems to even care anymore if a couple stays married or not. Look with me so you'll see what I'm talking about. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. These are evil days. These are perilous times. And the Word of God addresses that. It tells us that it's going to be like this in the last days. Whew, this is almost scary here. Second Timothy chapter 3. But know, K-N-O-W, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times of evil, times of stress will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, get in good with them? It says turn away from them. Get away from them. Now, I could go on reading there, but what the Spirit of God is telling us tonight in the Word of God is that the days that we're living in are evil, and we need to walk very carefully in this life. My testimony, my witness is important. And I sure can't give a gospel presentation to somebody if I'm living the way the old world lives. Right? And so our walk does need to match our talk. Can I get another witness? And so let me here's just a personal example. There's a couple over here that's getting married in our church. Chad, and I can't remember his fiance's name, but they're here every Sunday. Who? Yes. and they're here every Sunday. And they got engaged. And so we're going to be going through some premarital counseling. And, you know, I had a woman who'd been married three times and wanted to get married again. I said, I'll marry you if you'll go through premarital counseling with me. And she said, I don't need that. I've already been in three marriages. Have mercy. Wisdom! Don't we need it? But anyways, I was telling Chad and his bride that, you know, would you be willing to go through the premarital counseling with me? And I said, we need that, you know. And I said, even the secular world has figured that out. They'll give you $50-$60 off on your marriage license if you'll go through that counseling. But one of the things I've run into, even here at Second Mile, in premarital counseling, is a lost person's marrying a saved person. Both of them are already living together. And you know, I've had couples tell me, well, we've been living together a long time, Pastor. And I said, you don't see anything wrong with that? Are you not under conviction about that at all? And they said, oh, but we really do love one another. And everything just kind of clicks and it just kind of fits. And, you know, it's almost the normal thing now, y'all. Have y'all figured that out? And yet my Bible says in many different places, sex outside of marriage is wrong. Y'all know what Hebrews 13 says? God will judge the fornicator and the adulterer. And so when I start counseling folks I was with, I'm not going to tell you, I've married several couples in our church. And one of the couples had already had a kid and they're sleeping in the bed together and blah, blah, blah. I've been that way for 7-8 years. And so you see the dilemma the preacher's in? I know what the Word of God says, and yet I want God's blessings in the marital bed. And so I said, here's what we'll do. If you'll go down the street and stay with Mom and Daddy, and you'll stay here, we'll look at going forward with this. And they already had a kid. and so they did that for a while. And the poor old boy came in at our second marriage. He said, Brother Cal, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And I said, what? He said, not sleeping with my wife. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. She's not your wife. And so we walked through that. And then I showed him these verses, many of them. I said, I'm not some killjoy that wants to kill you, but God has boundary lines, and we're to live within those boundary lines, not because God's some kind of killjoy, because He knows what's best for us. And then she got scared because she was staying there at night without him and the baby. And so what I finally did was I compromised with them. And I said, if you come back home and you stay all night, you better get at one end of the trailer and make sure she's at the other end. And if I hear about y'all meeting in the middle, I'm not going to marry you. Because I want God's blessings on you. You know what they did? They went into their marriage bed pure. They went without having relations with one another for 6 weeks. Now, I'd like to kill the old boy, but they made it, you know? And so, but what I'm saying here is, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean it's spiritually wise. It does not mean that it's good. As a matter of fact, it's to our detriment when we operate in ways that are adverse to what the Scripture says. And so, you know, to walk carefully, I mean, and please pass this on to your grandchildren or your children if you've still got some at home. Don't just go out here and live any old way you want to live. Don't just go with the flow. Don't just go along to get along, but make good choices and ask God for wisdom and He'll help you to make the right choice. Now, did you catch it? There's another. Circumspectly is an important word. And then redeeming. Redeem, that's an important word. What does that word mean? To buy back. to buy back. When Adam fell headlong into sin, the devil wound up with the power and the authority in this world. In other words, he has stolen everything that God intended for us to have. Thank God for Jesus. When he came and paid the price, he was able by his blood not only to forgive us of our sin, but to restore all that Adam gave up. And he bought our pardon. He bought our freedom. That's the word redeem, to buy back. And I don't know, maybe you've allowed, y'all do know the devil has been allowed to have more power and authority in our lives than he should have. He doesn't have any right. He doesn't have any authority, no power over me. It's just that which I let him have from time to time. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but there's somebody here tonight, and the devil has something that's not his. It belongs to you. And you need to redeem that thing. Jesus has won the victory for us. We're not fighting for victory tonight. We're fighting from victory at the cross. Hallelujah. And so what are you doing to make a difference in your family and in our community and in our world? Ask God to give you some wisdom so that you'll make the very most out of these evil days. I had so much more I wanted to say, but the Holy Spirit's done in 8 minutes, so I've got to hurry up. We need wisdom because of the times that we're living in. Are y'all with me on that point? Okay, and then secondly, we need wisdom to accomplish God's will. Look at verse 17. Therefore, now anytime, y'all have heard Billy say this, anytime you come across that word therefore, you need to ask what? What is therefore there for? All right? Y'all with me? We're going to have a good time on Wednesday nights learning how to study our Bible. And then we're going to finish up praying. But Hope you all will help me spread the word about Wednesday nights. I'm going to be teaching folks how to study your Bible. And it's not going to be anything earth-shattering. It's going to be something you probably already know to do. You just hadn't thought about it in a while. So, anyways, what is therefore? Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, in my life, I've got an amazing ability. Do you know what it is? To sidestep God's will when it conflicts with Cal's will. Y'all don't sit out here and look all spiritual at me now. That's what happens. We just kind of sidestep God's will when it conflicts with our will, and given enough time, we can justify just about anything. Can I get a witness? We can justify this and justify that. And when we do that, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We quench the power and the fire of God in our lives and set ourselves up for disaster. Now, since I've already talked about getting married on the front end, let me use this example. And back at my last church, we had probably 35 or 40 active, regular, faithful teenagers in our youth ministry. And every now and then, I'd go back on Wednesday night and just say a few words to them. And I'd have a question and answer time with the teenagers. And I remember there was one particular young lady, and she was just asking what nobody else would ask, you know. And we were having this Q&A time, and she said, "Brother Cal, is it okay to date someone who's not a Christian?" And boy, she thought she was really going to trick me here, I think. But I turned the tables on her and I asked her a question. I said, "Do you want to marry a Christian?" And of course, what do you think she said? Yes. And I said, "Well, Do you think that you'll eventually marry somebody you fall in love with? What do you think she said? Yes. And I said, do you think you'll fall in love with somebody that you've been dating over a period of time? And she said, and I said, well, if you want to marry a Christian and you're going to marry someone that you fall in love with, that you date over a period of time, don't you think it's wise not to date an unbeliever? Oh, and the place got quiet as a mouse. You go home and you tell your grandchildren this. Tell them. That's truth. We need wisdom to accomplish God's will. It's not God's will for us to be unequally yoked. It's not His will for business. I've told y'all about my being unequally yoked in a business deal before, and my wife saved my tail. But if you, you know, the people, and I could have used some other things, but the people, like other examples, but the people you hang out with, I don't know, the places that we go, the business decisions, how we handle our money, all of that is all wrapped up in how we treat one another, and all of that's all wrapped up in this knowing and having wisdom to accomplish God's will. Now, when we ignore the Lord and we put out the fire of God, when we know what, and you know what, here's where I am with the will of God. I think understanding the will of God for my life from time to time is really just facing up to what I know in my heart that God's will is. I don't have to tell y'all what God's will is about certain things. You already know it. Why? Capital S lives within us. And He's not going to lie to you. And you'll know. Well, if I do this, it's probably not in God's... You know, the old bracelets we used to wear, WWJD, that's a great question. What would and whatever Jesus would do, that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And we need to follow His leadership. And so, understanding the will of God just basically means you're going to face up to what you know in your heart that God wants you to do. And the longer we play games, the longer we rationalize, the longer we justify, the longer we put God's best off, the greater danger we are in. And to ignore the prompting, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? I've talked about the still small voice, and sometimes God will, you know, put just a face in my mind. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? You ever been reading your Bible and all of a sudden, boom, and you saw something? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. How else does the Holy Spirit speak to you all? When you pray and you get an answer to what you prayed for. And how many times do we... help me, Jesus. I'm just sitting here thinking about what's happened this weekend, but... We need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll ask for wisdom and believe that God's going to give it to you, don't ask in doubt or you're going to go without. But ask Him, believing that He's going to give it to you. Whatever the decision is, whatever the choice is. And another thing I like to do, Dwight, and I don't know if you do this, but I think Bill Bright recommended this, is whenever you've got major stuff going on and decisions and choices, get in the Word of God and just start reading God's Word. And the Spirit of God will often give you black and white scriptures that you need to help you to know what God's best is for that. How many of you that's ever happened to you? It's happened to me time and time again, especially on big decisions in my life. And the Word of God will speak to me. And so the good news is that the Holy Spirit wants to guide us in all wisdom. And we need wisdom to accomplish God's will. Here's the last point. We need wisdom in order to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. And I think I've covered this in a couple of other sermons, but do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. What is dissipation? What? A mess? Spread out? Wasteful? I kind of like Dwight's definition, a mess. And folks who are drunk with wine are in a mess. But he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what he's done here is set up a contrast between the Spirit-filled and Spirit-led life and worldly living and worldly life. Now, somebody who is under the influence and under the direction and control of alcohol, they're going to make some poor choices. There's a radio ad about not driving while you're drunk or whatever, because at 3 o'clock in the morning you'll head into the house and get some kind of warmed over tacos or some kind of mess like that. And I'm like, that's terrible. You can do a lot better than that. But anybody who's under the control and influence of alcohol is not going to make wise choices. I can stand here tonight and tell you that. You know, I'm not proud of that, but I can. You're going to say things, you're going to think things, you're going to do things, you're going to go that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Why? Because you're under the control and the influence of alcohol. Somebody who is, pardon the pun here, who's drunk on the Holy Spirit is under the control and under the influence of the Spirit of Almighty God. And you need wisdom. I've told you all this before. How do you get under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit? How do you do that? Is it something mystical? Is it something magical? No. We try to make it that way, but it's simply like you ask for wisdom, you ask for the filling. This is a command, y'all. This is in the imperative mood here. He says, but be filled. That's a command. Be filled. Doesn't say be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that word, that verb there is talking about being under the influence, under the control, not like something being poured in or poured out, but it comes through a fresh yieldedness, a surrender, submission. And that's all throughout this. But look, jump up there to verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for things to God the Father in the name of our... Look at verse 21. What? Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then wives, submit. You see, submission's all throughout this passage. And so when we submit and yield and surrender to the control of the Holy Spirit of God, you know better than I do. I desperately need you to fill me with your Spirit. I surrender control of my thoughts, my attitudes, my prejudices, my mouth, my tongue, my walk, my actions, everything. God, I'm yielded to you. I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Fill me right now. Amen. And if you'll do that on a daily basis, the Spirit of God somehow takes control of your thought processes and your choices and your decisions. And if you make a bad decision, guess what? You weren't surrendered to the control of the Spirit of God. See? Is this making sense? And so wisdom says, you know what? I need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And y'all can... Every time I'm sitting either over here in the morning, I'm asking God to fill me with His Spirit. And by the way, you can't be under the control and under the leadership and under the influence of the Holy Spirit if you've got sin in your life. God will not fill you with His Spirit if you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. It's not going to happen. Those are two mutually exclusive things. You can't be filled by the Spirit and have unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. Are y'all with me? And so what we need is wisdom for the times that we're living in. We need wisdom to understand what the will of God is. And we need the wisdom to be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. What a great word from the Word tonight. I'm so thankful that God always does something special here on Sunday nights. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness in coming. Let's pray. Father, I don't even begin to understand you and everything that you do. But Lord, you've given me enough information to know that you don't ever make a mistake. You've never made a misstatement. You've never made a misstep. You always know what's best for us. And I want to thank you, Father, for the third person of the Trinity tonight. I thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us, that has tabernacled in us, that has set up residence in our heart of hearts. God, the Spirit of the Holy One living in us. Oh God, we don't have any excuses for making bad decisions. Because oftentimes we do know what your will is and we'll step out of that will because it conflicts with our will. Oh, forgive us, Lord. Wash us tonight. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, would you help each and every one of us on a daily basis to follow the command of Scripture and to surrender our hearts and lives afresh and anew every day to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because your way is best. And God, we can live a godly life in an evil world. It is possible to live in a godly way in an ungodly situation. It is possible to live in a way that somebody says, oh, you know so-and-so, she's different. And that difference is the Spirit-filled life. Oh God, fill us with your Spirit tonight. We yield ourselves completely unto you. And while we're praying, I would really love, if you've got some type of decision or choice that's affecting you or your family tonight, would you just be bold enough to slip your hand up in the air? I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else? I've got a decision, Pastor, and I need to make a good choice. Anybody else? Father, you've seen the hands in the building go up tonight. And these three need your wisdom. And so, God, I pray that they would get your wisdom as they ask you for it, believing that you're going to give it to them. And, Lord, that they would yield to the Spirit of God, that they might understand what your will is, that they might be completely saturated and influenced by the power of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah for the Lamb of God and the Spirit of the Lamb that lives within us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this evening. We give you praise for how you've moved and the things that you've spoken about tonight. God, I feel impressed to pray for every pastor in this community tonight. Would you surround them with a hedge of protection? Oh, the devil is after us. And the bullseye of the evil one for every church is right in the center of the pastor's chest. He's after every one of my brothers. Oh, God, guard our hearts with wisdom. Bless and touch my brothers I thank you for all the fasting and praying that's going on in January among these ministers in Clarksville. And we know the devil's going to work overtime against us. But God, greater is He that lives in us than he that is in this world. And the devil has no right, no authority, no power in a spirit-filled life. He needs to be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.